Father, we come and submit ourselves to this glorious word of yours, that it truly does light the way before us. But not only does it light the way before us, it shines the light into our hearts, where you expose those things you long to set us free from. We ask that you would do that among us this morning. Through your grace, bring us hope. In your mercy, bring us healing. And we make our prayer, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I got to tell you, one thing that I have noticed, it has been consistent in about the 20 years that I've been in ordained ministry, is this, that my phone rings more this time of year than any other time. And it's not by people calling to say Merry Christmas. Yeah, good. What it is, and it shouldn't surprise you, and it really doesn't surprise me, these are phone calls of people with counseling needs. These are phone calls from people who are in a very difficult place, and I would even say at times a very desperate place. And what I realize in all of this is it's not something new, but typically it's something that has been simmering for a long time, and all of a sudden the heat has gotten turned up and it boils over. Well, it's very telling when I realize this season and this time of year. It's very telling, and here's what it shows me, and what it ought to show all of us in this room. It's this. The world that we live in was created to be so good and so glorious. In God's creation, humanity, man and woman, were created to live in the incredible joy and presence and freedom and life and love in communion with God. But this world has become completely broken. Now, that's not news to you, but I want to say it again. We need to know that, because we need to realize that sin has touched every single part of our lives. There's not a part that it doesn't touch. There's not a part of this world that sin has not come in and wreaked havoc. But what we do in this season of Advent is we come with the expectation and anticipation of hope. We come and we live today not as people in despair, but we live as people with hope. Hope that the reality of Jesus coming into this world wouldn't just touch our lives, that maybe it could be a little better, but we live with the hope of the reality that Jesus came to redeem our lives. He came to purchase our salvation. He came to set us free from all the chains of the enemy. He came to set us free from the power of sin and death. And he came that we wouldn't just be touched, but that we would experience life. And as Jesus said, life to the full, that we would experience joy this side of heaven, that we're not waiting to heaven to experience that, but we get to have a greater foretaste of it even now. And the passage that was read just a moment ago from the Old Testament, the prophet Zephaniah, is a picture of hope for us. It's a picture of hope this morning. It's a beautiful psalm in the midst of a very short prophetic message to the people of Israel. And I want to challenge you this morning, or when you go home today, read. It's only 3 chapters long, but read it, because what you will find as you do is you're like, oh my goodness, how could there be any hope for these people? Like the Israelites who had turned away from God, thumbed their nose at him, time and time again, turned from his goodness so that they would live life on their own terms, thinking that would be better. And God sends the prophet Zephaniah to speak a word of judgment against them. But yet at the very end of it, we see the glimpse of hope, don't we? And that's the message that we need to hear this morning. Because the hope for you and me is when, we're no different than the Israelites, by the way, and that when you and I turn away from the goodness of God, when we think that we can do better, life better on our own terms, friends, we need to know that there is hope when we find ourselves at the end of the road. And here's how the message begins of hope. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14, we read these words, "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Now, I want to stop for a second. I want you to see that up there. And it's really easy for us to think, oh, this is just back in the Old Testament times. Because what we need to hear this morning is we need to see, sing aloud, David. Sing aloud, Beth. Sing aloud, Carol, right? Sing aloud. Rejoice and exalt with all your heart. That God wants us to be a people who know this and sing aloud to him, even in the midst of difficulty and pain. Well, the question is, where does this rejoicing come from? Because if you read up until this point, you think, there is no hope for Israel. What's the hope for me? Where does it come from? How? So here's what we see in verse 15. The Lord has taken the judgments against you away. He's taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared your enemies. Now, I read that and I think, okay, they didn't do anything for God to take his judgments away from them. How could he do that? How could a just and holy God do that? Is he just turning a blind eye? Saying, okay, what you did, that's okay, but we're going to start fresh. No. Just like you and I would never turn a blind eye at an injustice done against us, would we? We wouldn't just say, oh, that's no big deal. No one would do that. Well, God didn't do that, but look at what he did. Look at verse 17. We read, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. Friends, you want to hear good news, is that the Lord took the judgments away, and then we see this, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. God came among his people. That's why we celebrate Advent. That's why we celebrate this season of year, is that God came among his people. Amen? And the fact that that happened ought to begin to stir something in us of, wait a minute, okay, there's got to be more. Well, as God came among us in the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and he walked on this earth, and he did something so unthinkable that no one could dream this up on their own. Only God, in his sovereign mercy, could create such a reality, a story that would be life-changing for all humanity. And what we see is this: God himself came among us, and he took on our punishment. He bore the judgment that was due you and me because of our sins. Do you hear that? Or did it just kind of go, whew? Robert, I know that. You talk about that. We talk about that. Yes, but I want you to really listen. That Jesus came among us to remove the punishment, and he did it by becoming the punishment for us. That's bizarre. But friends, I want you to see that's how much God loves humanity. That's how much God loves us, that he sent his son into this world. And it's not that the Israelites did anything good to earn the fact that God took the judgments away. They didn't, and neither can you nor I. You see, this restorative grace that is ours through Christ comes as a gift when we submit ourselves to his mercy and his grace, receiving what Jesus has done for us. Now, I said a minute ago, many of you have heard this gospel truth many, many times, but I want to ask you this question. Has it become a reality for you? Now, that's an important question to ask. Has it become a reality for you? So often, we just have this theological knowledge, right? And it just stays up here. But this is something so incredible. It was never intended to just stay up here. It was to come in here and enter our heart and explode into our lives. So I ask you the question this morning, does your life reflect this reality of what Jesus came to do? Do your inner thoughts reflect the reality that Jesus came to take the judgments away and to forgive us and bring his peace among us? Listen, I think a deep sadness of the Lord is that he sees his people, those for whom he died, still bound under the condemning weight of guilt. Still bound under the condemning weight of guilt. Living our lives as if God is still angry with us. living our lives thinking, I've not been good enough. I've not done enough. Is that you? Don't raise your hand, but I'll keep mine raised. Because that is me so much of the time. I know this reality. I get it theologically. But to let it sink in here, friends, is something so radical that I long for God to show me, and I've got glimpses more and more. But I say this morning to say, I think there are a lot of people in this room who are still today living under the condemning weight of guilt, even though you have already confessed your sins to the Lord and thrown it to the cross. It may be something you did years and years ago, and nobody would know, but it still plagues you. It still is this heavy weight and burden. And I think there are a lot of us in this room, too, that when we sin and we go and we take it to the cross and we repent, we walk away not free. We walk away still feeling the weight of what? Of guilt. We still walk away heavy, bearing this burden, because we think, how could God still love us? How could His mercy still rest on us? I recently read that, and I love this statement, guilt is the hangover of shame and accusation. But think about that. Guilt is the hangover of shame and accusation. Shame and accusation come is when we sin. But when we go to the cross and repent of our sins, we are free. But the reality is we wake up the next morning with that hangover. And we wake up with the weight of the guilt, and it still plagues us. Are you living out of the reality that you've been forgiven? Are you living out of the reality that Isaiah said at the beginning of this beautiful book that he wrote in the Old Testament, in that picture when he saw the Lord seated on his throne? Are you familiar with that passage? He saw the Lord on his throne, and the seraphim were flying around singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And one of them took with tongs a burning coal from the altar where sacrifices are made. And he came to Isaiah, and he touched his lips. And do you know what he said? Your guilt has been atoned for. Your sins have been wiped away. Do you really believe that? Friends, I want you to hear, God is not angry with you. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is not angry with you. His judgments have already been satisfied. But then why are so many of us still walking under the weight of shame and guilt that robs us of joy, that robs us of the joy from being able to sing out, rejoicing with an exalted heart to God because of what He has done for you and me? I want you to think for a second how crafty our enemy really is. Do you know how crafty Satan is? I mean, he's the great tempter, and he knows how to come. He's so sly. And he comes in those places where we least expect us to tempt us. And when we give in, what he's wanting to do is, you know, tempt us to turn away from the holiness of God, to turn away from a life that is really honoring and pleasing and safe before the Lord. That's what he does. And we often think that his work stops there. But, oh, that's only the beginning. Because can I tell you what I believe the deeper work is? Is when he lures us over with the temptation into sin, guess what he comes on the other side and he does? He accuses us. You know he is the great accuser. That's what we read in Revelation. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Here's what we read. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Accusing us day and night before God. That's exactly what he does. Day after day after day, he accuses us. Night after night after night, he accuses us. And so often we are living under that louder voice coming in, as opposed to the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the voice of God. Let me tell you how the Lord speaks. Verse 17 of Zephaniah 3, The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. Now listen, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Does that sound like the voice of condemnation? No. That's the voice from a father who has redeemed his children, adopted them back into his family, and walks with us and loves us more than you and I could ever imagine. Part of the work, this side of heaven that we are in as we are followers of Jesus, is this. It's to discern in a greater way the voice of the enemy from the voice of the one who speaks truth. That we would grow in our discernment of the lies that Satan... I was sitting up here just a moment ago, and these floods of things just kept coming at me. And I thought, that's the enemy. That's what he loves to do, to defeat the children of God. But the Lord, I want you to hear this morning, he rejoices over you with gladness and great song. I want to ask you this question. What if you really knew that your sins have been atoned for and your guilt has been taken away? What if you really knew that? Could you imagine the joy? You know, friends, we ought to be the most joyful people on the face of the earth, followers of Jesus. You know why? Because we receive what he's done. But so often, and I'm saying this because I'm right there so much of the time, we walk around with the weight of guilt and shame. I'm not good enough. I've not done enough. Those are the lies of the enemy. I want you to hear this. We read part of Psalm 103. Before our confession this morning, I want to read part of it in another verse again. I want you to listen clearly because I want you to have a good sense of who our Heavenly Father is. And for those who are here this morning that aren't following Jesus, but you're here, and I'm so glad you're here, I want you to hear a clear picture of who our God is that we're worshiping this morning. Psalm 103, verses 10 through 13. Listen, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Now, I want you to just think about that. I looked up yesterday afternoon, I was outside, and I looked up just to see how far I could see, and I have no idea how far that is, and even beyond. But that's how great the love of God is for his children. Is it sinking into your heart? Is it warming your heart? Friends, this is who our God is. But he goes on and we read, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And then listen, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. As a father shows compassion to his children, so much more, infinitely more, will our Heavenly Father show compassion to us through his mercy and his grace. Friends, this morning we're going to have an intentional time of prayer and healing this morning. And as I've been preparing this message and thinking and just seeking the Lord in this particular about this particular service over the past few weeks, the one thing that the Lord kept impressing on me was, Robert, I want to set my people free from the guilt that they continue to carry. If that's you this morning, come and lay it at the cross and say, God, I don't want to keep picking it back up. I don't want to keep living out of that guilt. Because when we live out of guilt, we're living as orphans instead of adopted sons and daughters. And you are no longer an orphan if you're a child of the living God. But I think there's a lot more work the Lord longs to do with us this morning. Healing in relationships. I wouldn't be surprised if there are fractured relationships even in this room. Some of you have fractured relationships with family members, with friends, others. Come and say, God, would you come heal? come and heal this morning. Come and make in me that I cannot do on my own. Friends, this is all a gift. But come and do what I cannot do and enable me to be a man or a woman who forgives. Give me the gift of forgiveness so that I can forgive and be set free. We don't have control how that other person responds, but we sure have control of what God is doing in our hearts. And so maybe for you, it's coming and saying, God, forgive me so that I can go and forgive others. Maybe for some, it's physical healing. The Lord does heal today. You know, when you read in the Gospels, so much of the work of Jesus in the Gospels was the work of healing. And I believe the Lord still does it today. And so come and bring those and ask for healing in any way. For some, it may be emotional healing. The list can go on and on. It's limitless. But the Lord God welcomes us as a father having compassion on his children. Now, we're going to end this in just a moment, but some of you may be wondering this. Is God really going to show up? Is God really going to show up? Would he really meet me at that place that I long for him to meet me at? Can I tell you something that we do every Sunday that it's easy to forget? We say it twice at the beginning of the service and during communion. You know what it is? The Lord is what? Here. Yeah, say it louder. The Lord is here, and his Spirit is with us. We are not orphans. We are not. God has not departed from us. He is here among us through the presence of his Holy Spirit. And so we can come boldly with our pleas, with our requests, with our prayers to the Lord, and make them known to him. But here's what I want you to hear. You see, healing is not if, but when. And I want you to hear that clearly. Healing is not if, but when. God will heal. It may be today for some of you. It may be next week. It may be in 5.5 years, or it may be when you die and go into the presence of the glory of God. But the promise is sure, isn't it, that Jesus will ultimately wipe away all sickness, all sadness, all of it. He will wipe away when he comes back. And so we live this side of heaven as people with great hope. Listen, as we wrap this up, Zephaniah said this, and I don't want you to miss this in verse 16 and 17. Fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. Let not your hands grow weak. I realize this side of heaven is difficult for so many people. Jesus said, in this world, we will have trials and tribulation. We will go through hard times. There will be relational breakups. There will be sickness. That's the reality of living in a broken world. But listen to what Zephaniah, what we see here. Let not your hands grow weak. What he's saying is, don't be discouraged in your daily struggle. Don't be discouraged. Do you know why? Guess who's in our midst? Say it again. The Lord your God is in your midst. And so in our daily struggle, and they will come, and for many tomorrow, remember the Lord your God is in your midst. He is a mighty one to save. He is the one who knows, and he is with us every step of the way. Amen.